Support for Insight comes from University of the Pacific McGeorge School of Law, marking its 100th anniversary in 2024. Applications for admission to all McGeorge law programs are available at law.pacific.edu.
Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Food is more than just a necessity or fuel. Often the meals we eat and grow up with have a story, becoming a source of pride and nostalgia. Food can also be emotional and even a way for us to learn about history that has been long overlooked. Because recipes that begin with one region can over time evolve with migration and, frankly, colonialism. Our next guest went on a journey discovering how food connects us to family, history, conflict, and migration, becoming the first Puerto Rican food columnist in the United States. And that dedication for preserving the diaspora has become her debut book, Diasporican, a Puerto Rican cookbook, which is a visual record of recipes, including some from her own family. The book earned a James Beard Award last summer. Joining us now is writer Ileana Maisonet, ahead of her event at the Sacramento Public Library. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
So I know I'm not alone in this. I loved your cookbook. It was great. I learned so much, but I also left very hungry and also inspired to cook.
That's great.
So I was also loved learning in your intro that you were born and raised in Sacramento. You currently live in San Francisco right now. But I'm curious, starting from the beginning, when did writing and food become a big part of your life?
I'm not necessarily sure or can pinpoint like the exact moment, you know, because it's all so kind of grand. I mean, I feel like writing and cooking are a part of most families that come from like an immigrant background. Well, Puerto Ricans are considered immigrants because they're United States citizens, but still the experience of coming to the States is very similar to an immigrant's experience, you know. Cooking is not like it's not like, you know, an ethereal thing. It's not a visceral thing. It's just a thing, you know, it's something that you have to do. So it's something that I've been looking in and around all my life.
Yeah. I mean, one of the quotes or what you wrote that stood out to me when talking about your Nana, your grandma and your mother, and there's photos of them, leading your book with you as a child, was that, you know, the pleasure of cooking didn't really exist. You know, it was out of necessity.
Exactly.
But that also shaped, I'm curious, did that also shape your desire for food as also a vehicle to retain history and to tell history the right way?
But I mean, that didn't come till much, much later, you know, like cooking is a very domestic thing in my family, in my culture, you know, that's like saying, you know, you grew up to be, like a laundromat owner. You know what I mean? Like it's a very domestic thing. So I think like the concept of of connecting food and storytelling really didn't come until much, much later in my life.
It reminds me of, you know, my abuela, she's from Mexico, would obviously cook for all of the children. That was, you know, it was a traditional role. And my grandmother as well, who's Japanese and from Japan. They're great cooks. We love their food. But when I was a teenager, I remember asking them, do you enjoy cooking? And they would be like, they would kind of pause. And that was like one of the first realizations for me as someone young, that just because you're good at something does not mean that you enjoy it. Have you always enjoyed cooking food, about learning about the history and the generations behind the recipes of your family?
Again, those things, they did not come until much, much later. Like, basically, none of these things really came into my mind before maybe like 2009 when I went to culinary school. You know, like, there are just not... all the things that you're mentioning right now are very poetic. Do you know what I mean? But it's also coming from a very kind of like a romanticized background. And to see cooking as romantic was not a thing. So literally none of those things existed in my puny human brain before I turned 30.
When did the wheel start turning then for you? I would imagine, you know, while or after culinary school, when you started thinking about this book, Diasporican?
I didn't start thinking until the book until 2014. I started thinking about writing. I had already done some writing long before I became like a visual artist. Like both of my parents are visual artists, you know, so art has always been a part of my life. You know, my mom does not, to this day, does not really like to cook. So the cooking kind of came from my grandma, which is why I have like a very specific sort of relationship with food in the terms of that I see someone cooking for me or sharing food with me as kind of like, you know, like an expression of love. And when it comes to writing, you know, that's very much a part of both of my parents' lives. So when I went to culinary school, it didn't take me long to figure out that being a lifer in the kitchen in the back of the house was probably not what I wanted to do, you know, as like a 50-year-old or a 60-year-old living that life. I knew that that was not going to be something that I wanted for myself. So around the same time, you know, I'd already read some of the magazines like, you know, Gourmet with Ruth Reichel and Bon Appetit and Saveur and all those things. But I don't really think that being a writer, a food writer, really clicked for me until the Lucky Peach magazine came out, and then kind of Anthony Bourdain hit the scene. It was then and there, and I was like, oh, okay, we can write about food in a much different way, you know, in a similar way that, like, you know, all the great classic white males write about their adventures, like E. Cummings and Hemingway and Kerouac. Like, we can write about food like that, and in not the way that, no shade to Ruth Reichel or to M.K.A. Fisher, but those types of writing are very ethereal, very fairy-like, you know? And while I love them, I don't necessarily connect with them. I don't see myself in them.
Yeah, I appreciate the way that you write. It's like I feel like I'm sitting across the table from you and having a very honest conversation about, you know, what you're passionate about, what you want to share with readers. When you started, you know, in 2014, which was like a decade ago, when Diasporican began taking shape, how did you want to approach telling the history of Puerto Rican food? Because, you know, it is a history that is, you can't just put in a box, and it's hard to define.
I mean, there's no way, in my personal opinion, there's no real way to talk about Puerto Rican food without talking about the history of Puerto Rico. Like, it's just, for me, it's just very hard to do, you know? So the way that I write about it is just very, I don't know, it's just very so, if that makes any sense, you know what I mean? Like, it's literally just me writing how I have researched it. Like, because it took a lot of research, you know, not just a lot of research by being there, which is also true, but also took a lot of research, you know, kind of like in the academic, you know, academic format.
And before that, I mean, you were the first columnist in the United States to write about Puerto Rican food. What has the
response? Which is also accidental. It's all totally accidental. Like, if you would have asked me if I would have been here in 2009, I would have said absolutely not. Like, it's all, and I mean, that's pretty much most of my life. I find that most of the things that happen to me are all through like these weird transitional periods where I just kind of happen to be in the right place at the right time, because, you know, it's like that phrase, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. I'm always ready.
Yeah.
So when I see this moment, it's kind of like I just slipped through there. And it's the same way with, you know, writing the book. Like, when I became a columnist at the Chronicle, it was totally accidental. Like, I was already doing some, they found me like in 2006 or something like that, early on, when I was doing pop-ups, or maybe, I don't even know, it was so long ago. I used to do Puerto Rican pop-ups in San Francisco, and that's how they found me. They wrote about me. And then they asked me to just kind of write a little small blurb, you know, during the holidays. And then I pitched them one year, and I said, you know, like, I'd like to write about Puerto Rican restaurants in Northern California, because there's so few Puerto Rican restaurants, you know, in the country, really, even though Puerto Ricans are like the second largest Latino demographic in the United States. And like, they're now at like 5.9 million, which is more than on the island itself, you know? So they were like, sure, okay, that's great. And I at the time, there were already other columnists there, like Nick Sharma, writing about like their own cultural foods. So I kind of took a cue from that and I said, hey, what if I wrote like a column? What do you think about an idea for a column about Puerto Rican food? But from kind of like, you know, from the diaspora perspective, which really didn't exist at the time. And luckily, I just happened to have the right editor there, Paolo Lucchesi. And he was like, yeah, sounds good. Let's do it.
Hmm. You have over 90 recipes in your cookbook, and some are part of your family as well. I look at the cover. I mean, the cover is wonderful, as it should be. It's a cover. I mean, the flavor just jumps off the page. I mean, the colors are vibrant. I was able to find out, you know, what it was. It was arepas de coco with ensalada de pulpo y camarones, which is octopus and shrimp. I'm curious about who is holding the food. Who are those hands?
Oh, those are my mom's hands.
Wonderful. And I know that this was... These moments are moments that you stumbled upon because you are ready, you know, and you were prepared for these moments. But given that this has received, you know, such a wonderful response, I mean, you received a James Beard Award, and then it's a popular book. People love taking it in. What does that mean to you? What does that level of response mean to you?
I mean, by the way, that cover, also accidental, but... I just wanted to mention that too. Also accidental. I just think that it means that it's like a gift and a curse, because it means that all those years that I was, you know, pushing for the book proposal to fall into the right hands, and literally everyone responding, you know, there's no market for it. There's no market for you. Kind of means that I guess that there was after all.
What do you hope people, readers, learn about the people and the history and the food of Puerto Ricans from the perspective of the diaspora?
That it's probably a lot more complex than they have been told or thought or anticipated, and that it definitely cannot be put into a very kind of neat little box.
What do you enjoy? Finally, this is our last question. We only have like a minute left. I mean, you were going to be speaking at the Sacramento Public Library this evening, but you've also held virtual cooking demos as well. I mean, what do you enjoy about doing events like this and introducing this to other people?
That's basically what I enjoy, is introducing Puerto Rican food to other people.
Ileana, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
Ileana Masonette is a James Beard Award-winning writer of Diasporican, a Puerto Rican cookbook. She'll be at an event this evening at the Sacramento Public Library. We have more information on our Insight page. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, you can email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producer Sarit Lashinsky, managing editor Aram Sarkissian, our digital producer and audio engineer is Chris Feltz. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great Wednesday. We'll catch you right back here tomorrow.